is Spectrum.
Alternative Myth, Homeopathy, Secret Society, Hypnosis, The Paranormal, Alternative Energy, UFO Abduction, The Weird, The Wild, and The Wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan, here my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Scott?
Doing good. Who do we got tonight?
Well, tonight we have Elaine Douglas, who has been a researcher since the mid-80s, and she's been a 25-year member of MUFON. For many years, she was MUFON State Director for Washington, D.C., and for the past 12 years, she has been the MUFON State Director for Utah. Elaine is the editor of the Journal of Abduction and Counter Research, which is an email quarterly magazine on UFO abductions. And in the 90s, she was an organizer for the group Operation Right to Know, which held street demonstrations protesting the UFO secrecy. She holds a master's degree from MIT in military policy, and she now lives in Utah, and she's a self-employed as a marketing consultant. Welcome, Elaine.
Hello, Elaine. How you doing?
Hello?
Oh, we're having some mute problems.
Elaine?
Oh, just speak up when you can. Elaine, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here.
Oh, hey. So we lost you.
Oh, we lost you there for a minute. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I'm real glad you guys are interested in MUFON because, you know, MUFON's got a lot of problems right now. We're talking about the Mutual UFO Network, UFO research organization, and big problems in MUFON at the present time.
Okay. Before we get into that, maybe we could go to a little bit of history. What got you personally involved in this area?
I don't have a dramatic story in that vein. In the mid-80s, I was driving in my car and I heard an interview with Bud Hopkins. And, you know, like a lot of people, I was interested in UFOs when I was an adolescent. Mm-hmm. And I forgot all about them. And then I heard this interview with Bud Hopkins. I was so astounded. I got into UFO research and studies, and since then it's just been every single day.
Really?
From then to now, every single day.
Well, that's a long time.
So how did you get involved with MUFON, and was it like from the beginning more or less?
Yeah, MUFON was one of the organizations that was prominent, MUFON, and then there was a couple other organizations, and you know, the thing to do was join MUFON, so that's what I did. And, you know, that was in the old days when we had paper, we did our reports on paper. You filled out your report and you mailed it in.
Yeah.
Now we got a computer. Big improvement.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes. Tom, you had experience with that as well, being the sitting director for MUFON Ontario. Having
yes,
to send all your reports into the States, which he wasn't too thrilled with.
Wasn't too thrilled about that either. Well, because back in those days, they were demanding all our information and you know, including you know any evidence that we had. And I'm assuming the same thing applied to you, Lane, did it not?
Oh, you mean the paper? Well. You see, the thing about it is, we got a big improvement now. We got a computer system, and it seems like a big improvement until you start to reflect on how easy it is to get all the information out of a computer, if you even if you're not supposed to.
Yeah, and people's personal details and information on So what is the difference between you obviously see some difficulty with MUFON today?
Well, MUFON, you know, the membership is half of what it used to be, and they claim they're almost broke, and that's reason. But But the real problem now is MUFON's credibility is in tatters. I mean, they made an alliance in 2009 with a Las Vegas businessman named Robert Bigelow.
Okay, tell us that story. How did that come about?
Yeah, basically, he was going to give them over $500,000 to put in, and they got half that money. They got half of that money in the period that they worked with him. But what they did was they put the entirety of MUFON at his disposal. He had access to the computer system, and he had they started paying the established a rapid response team called the STAR team, which could get to UFO sites quickly.
Right.
And so he had them working for him, and he had access to the computer system, and he also had undisclosed backers.
And, wasn't transparent.
According to James Carey and the former director of MUFON, he had undisclosed backers. And it's done terrible damage to MUFON's credibility and its reputation. I mean, we at the Committee to Reform MUFON, which is who I'm representing tonight,
right.
We believe that there's no way to repair the damage to MUFON's reputation, and it may go deeper than its reputation. The things people suspect about MUFON may be true. And there's just no way to fix it unless the organization makes big changes. And that the major change we want to see them make is that they have a board of directors, 9 people that have been there forever, and they are self-appointing. And we want to have democratically elected board of directors. See, the thing about MUFON, you guys, MUFON is really very important. And MUFON is the way that anybody who wants to know can find out what the phenomena is doing in North America, because of the huge network that MUFON has with the public. If they see anything happens to them, they fill out a report. They make hundreds of reports every month, go into MUFON, and through those reports, if we could get all the information, which increasingly it's becoming clear that we're not getting the information.
Right.
And that's the problem. But the thing is that the ability to know what the phenomena is doing is really, really important. Where it is, how it's appearing, how people are perceiving it, we need that information. And the public needs that information, since, there's no other way to get it. The press isn't going to provide it.
Right.
But, Elaine, when you were the director back in the 90s, let's say, were you able to get any information from the head office and as far as other, cases, or did you get any help from them in any way?
Are you talking about some particular era?
Well, I'm talking
back
like
back in the 90s.
From the 90s up.
Well, see, in the days of the paper forms before the computer, we all understood that the forms, the reports all went to Walt Anderson. He put them in a file cabinet. And a few of them would get published in the MUFON Journal. But nowadays, with the computer system that MUFON has, it's less and less understandable why all the reports are not coming out. And one of the things that happened in 2 months ago was 4 state directors were fired and 2 assistant state directors, which, it was a purge. These are senior people included, and I was one of them.
Right. Now, do you have any information on what they said the reason was?
Well,
what they said and what the reason might be will be two different things, probably. But what was their reasoning?
Well, preceding my firing, in the month before that, I had sent them a bunch of emails to the higher-ups in MUFON, and I was going on and on about, why does MUFON publish all these raw reports? A raw report, for anybody who's listening, is a report. When the public makes a report, they type in what they think they saw, and that's what we call a raw report. And what MUFON does is MUFON sends an investigator out to interview that person, and we have a way of refining the information, organizing it, so that it becomes very presentable and understandable, and it's checked and so on, and that's a finished report. That's an investigative report. And I was going on, and these, I sent 4 emails in. So why are we publishing all these raw reports? And why aren't we publishing the investigative reports? That's our product. You know, and the thing about MUFON is, you know, you wonder, when MUFON does things that don't make sense, you might not be sure whether it's just incompetence or it's by design. All right?
Right.
And you ask yourself this over and over again.
Right. What they could do, because it's a computer generated, I mean, they have the files on computer. There's governments all over the world now releasing their UFO files. You would think the leader of that pack of releasing files would be MUFON.
Right. You would.
I mean, they could monthly release all the files that came out. So I see what you're saying, and it makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't they do that? What is the reasoning? So you sent them a whole bunch of questions saying, hey, guys, let's get on the bandwagon with the rest of the world that's releasing their information and do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then I got off on another subject, and I'll try to make this quick, but it's kind of
important. No, don't. Give us any details you can.
If you go to the website, the MUFON website, you hit the button that says report UFO. That's for the public. Now, at the bottom of this form, there's a checkoff box that you can check that says, if it's okay with you, Mr. John Q. Public, that MUFON releases your information, your contact information, and the substance of your report to, quote, third parties unaffiliated with MUFON. Third parties unaffiliated with MUFON, unquote. Check this box. You know, now, most people check that box. And so that became one of my other questions that I was badgering them with. What's this? I said, what's this? Who is this third party unaffiliated with MUFON? All right. Now, in looking back in retrospect, at that time, I did not know what that represented. Now I know. That's Bigelow. You know, the Bigelow that's supposed to be gone, the Bigelow that was supposed to, the contract is ended, we hear. You know, Bigelow is no longer part of MUFON, et cetera. But somehow, that's still on there. That's the conduit to Bigelow. It's still on there. And here I was asking about it.
That does seem like a bit of a cluster. You know what I mean? Because it was a contract, and I read the contract. It was a lengthy contract. He buys all of their past information, all the database, any future stuff that come out. Ended up, they got like $385,000 of the $600,000+ that they were supposed to pay, and then it went by the wayside. But the point is, you're saying that information is still going there.
Well, that's still on the intake form. Now, that contract, by the way, that was sent to us sub rosa. We don't know who sent it to us, because we never would have got it from the board of directors of MUFON. You know, we don't have a right to any information. But somebody sent us that contract, and the committee to reform MUFON put it out. And, you know, it's kind of an eyebrow raiser. I mean, everybody knew Bigelow was involved with MUFON, and they knew he was paying for the star team. But it's another thing to see it in print, you know, just the exact terms. And so there, so we're progressing through the story here. And when we went through this purge, you know, I went through it, and everybody that got fired was a senior person in MUFON. There was six people fired all at once. You know, I guess they thought we wouldn't notice. We're all supposed to just crawl away with our tails between our legs.
You know, and these are all people that were asking similar questions.
Well, you know, one of them was really asking similar questions, even more than me. And she was a 41-year member of MUFON, in charge of a very successful state, Colorado, a 41-year member, just fired, off with her head, you know. And they don't tell you why you're fired. They just send you a one-line email that says, in my case, it says, we discovered your misconduct. I was not guilty of any misconduct.
Right.
But you see, there's no appeal, there's no process, there's nothing. If they want you out, you're out.
Right.
And so
they may just as well send you an email that says, sucks to be you. See ya.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So, you see, as a result of that, that was just the kind of overt manifestation of the thing. So we put together our petition, which we're calling for a democratically elected board. We're calling for due process in all personnel matters. And we're calling for them to do some fundraising, some legitimate fundraising. You know, we don't want any more of this dirty money from people like Bigelow. We want them to go to New York and Hollywood and the foundation world and get up off their rear ends and do some real fundraising. So that's in the petition.
Right.
And, so there, you know, now the thing about what the Bigelow contract did, it tore MUFON apart. Is the first thing it did was break the trust that people have. You know, they start asking themselves, who really is Robert Bigelow? You know, who are his unseen backers? Is he really an intelligence asset? And of course, nobody knows, you know, but...
But the question is raised.
Right, exactly. And once it's raised, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And so that's the first thing, the problem. That now the next thing is it with the creation of this STAR team. Now, what I've come to realize in the last month, after getting past the surface, see the overt things, I've come to realize that the important thing in understanding what may be going on in MUFON now is the STAR team and CMS. CMS meaning the case management system or MUFON's computer. But, okay, still looking at the surface.
Right.
We're still on the surface now. This STAR team divided MUFON into two classes, you know, the haves and the have-nots. Divided where you had these elite STAR team investigators who got all the good cases, everybody feels. And everybody else, all the regular investigators, they got all the, what they call, lights in the sky.
Right.
Not important cases.
That's the ones where you have to go out and explain to people, sir, I'm afraid what you've seen there was Venus.
Well, there's a lot of lights in the sky that are not Venus. But yeah. You see,
or satellites or anything. You know, it could be anything. Who knows?
I always liked the lights in the sky myself. You know, I liked all the cases I investigated. But a lot of people feel that the lights in the sky are not worth having. And so you had to be on the STAR team to get anything else but lights in the sky.
I mean, but Elaine, let me ask you something. When this STAR team is supposed to go out to investigate something, who would give them this information?
Well, you see, the system works. All the reports come in through the website, and then they would go to dispatchers who at that time were paid, and they would rank the cases into three categories, category 3, 2, or 1. And if it was category
wait a minute.
3 cases would go to STAR team.
Yeah, but before they get that information, for instance, if you had that case, if the case came to you, like from your own area, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you dispatch your people first before it goes to any of the other MUFON folks?
No. It goes into MUFON's computer, and it goes into MUFON. MUFON Central.
Right after that, before even anybody investigates anything?
Yeah, and they did. Yeah, and they would dispatch it to the states. If it was a Category 1 case, a lights in the sky case, it would go to the states. You get an email. You're the state director. You sit at your you get an email. It says you got a new case. All right?
But maybe that's why they never got nothing from me.
What?
Because even back in those days, I never done that. Never once. Like, if a case came, our people went out, we investigated, whatever results we had, we passed it on. That was it.
Right.
Yeah.
We never allowed them to come and appear in our woods and do our
stuff. That was before MUFON was divided into two classes of people, the have
but you know
and
what?
Have not.
Even now, I wouldn't have done that. So the people themselves right now, you know, they should not have done that kind of approach, because if the information comes out to you and it's something that's in your own area, why would you pass the information to them right off the bat and let them take over?
Well, the public sends in the reports.
Okay, that's a different story. If it came directly from the public, but if it came, let's say, something to your attention, your team would go out, would it not?
Yes. In other words, if it came to me personally, not through the computer.
Right, okay.
That is correct. That is correct. And occasionally that will happen.
But did you guys, did your local, like when you were the state director there, did you guys have like a phone number for the local area that you guys were working in?
Yes, I do here where I am. And I don't think we did in Salt Lake City, in the big city in MUFON, because unfortunately, right. You know, but I would occasionally get a case directly to me. That's correct. That is correct. But you see, you have to look at the bulk of the activity. The bulk of the activity will come through people coming through the website. The MUFON website report a UFO, and they type their report. You know, so all right. So the other thing that happened in MUFON, we got these two classes of people, and we got all this friction. But the thing that started to happen that is so puzzling is the culture of MUFON started to change. A very unprecedented things started happening inside MUFON. Authoritarianism. The leadership, you know, they started with this order giving, a monumental rudeness, bullying. We got directors of this and directors of that. We got rule books. We got flow charts with elaborate chains of command, and everybody carefully ranked who reports to who. Things that we never saw in MUFON before. And then we got things that you had to sign, forms. One is called the at-will agreement, saying MUFON can fire you anytime they want for no reason. Then we got another form to sign, and this turns out to be kind of important, a background check form, where you would tell MUFON that you would sign this form and you would give MUFON a carte blanche to investigate you, and MUFON, the terms of this, it's all spelled out in the form. It said if MUFON got anything wrong or made any mistakes, that they weren't responsible for it. And not only that, but you couldn't inquire. That form is still in use. Now, you're not allowed to inquire what MUFON may have discovered about you. And so these things, MUFON started to act like it was a police agency.
Yeah, it does sort of sound like that. It sounds a bit like an operation.
Yeah, this stuff is all up and running, all right? Now, in the STAR team, they got a non-disclosure form. And this, you got to know exactly what this really means. That if you are going to sign up for the STAR team, the elite corps, okay, then you are going to sign a statement that says that anything you learn in an investigation, you will never reveal. Okay? Never reveal.
That's insane. That sounds like you're signing up for the CIA.
That's right. That is right. And
ridiculous.
I call it the gagged for life. In other words, if we thought, go back to MUFON's mission, you know, the mission of MUFON and for the benefit of humanity, that's the mission. The mission of MUFON is to collect UFO information, analyze it, and report it to the public. That is the mission of MUFON, all right? But here we're going in another direction here, and the form says that you can't tell your wife. You go out on the case for the STAR team, you can't tell your wife.
That's ridiculous.
It says if you do, and the words are, immediate disciplinary action.
Wow.
Just disciplinary.
What are they going to do, take away your card? Take your official card away.
That's exactly. And they do it right and left, okay? They take away your field investigator status is what they do.
And how would they find that out, if I may ask?
Well.
Yeah, I mean, how are they going to find out? You told your wife.
It says in this form, you know, you're not allowed to write. Now, 90% of people who get into UFO research, that's exactly what they want to do is write. They want to research and write their findings. No more. Not if you're on the STAR team. You're not allowed. It says right here in this agreement, you're not allowed to write anything. You're not allowed to talk to the press. Everything you collect, all the information you collect is, quote, the property of MUFON. All right?
And in turn, back to Bigelow.
You know, we're trying to figure out where this stuff really comes from. And, of course, then we get purges. See, inside MUFON today, there is a climate of fear. You could be fired at any time. And people had a big investment in MUFON, like I did, 25 years. Like the state director of Colorado, 41 years. You know, you don't want to be fired. You want to stay in MUFON and continue your work. And in MUFON today, there's a climate of fear. And, you know, purges. We get purges. And I was purged in December and January. After I was fired, I wrote this letter to Clifford Cliff, the international director. I said, Dear Cliff, let's see if I understand this. The accused is not informed of what the charges are against her. She's not allowed to confront her accusers. She is not questioned as part of the investigation. She's not allowed to know what evidence was presented against her. She's not permitted to defend herself. And in the end, she's convicted, and she's not told what she's convicted of. You know, that's what it's like when there's no due process. And so let me give you another example. This is so silly. A fellow named Steve Reichmuth was the chief investigator of Northern California for MUFON. He has almost 300 investigated cases in CMS, in the computer system. He was given a form to sign saying he would never, in all future time he remained in MUFON, contact anyone above his rank.
Wow.
Now, okay, I mean, like, where in the world would people come up with this stuff? MUFON is supposed to be an intellectual organization, an investigative organization. It's not the Army.
It sounds like military. That's military. That is pure military thinking.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
do not question.
But wait a minute. Isn't MUFON a charitable organization?
Yes.
Okay, so MUFON, how can you have a charitable organization being run in that fashion?
Right.
Isn't it against the law for that matter?
You know,
I mean,
now,
as a charitable organization, you can go to the state or wherever the registration is and take out their status.
Yeah, especially if they're demanding the secrecy acts that you have to
sign.
And
not to mention the fact that if Bigelow paid that money, did he get it as a write-off? Because if you're a charitable organization, you're giving out receipts. Yes?
Yep. Yeah, he probably got a tax write-off.
So if he got a tax write-off, which is probably what he was looking for anyways, if that's what these folks would like, then it cost him basically hardly anything. And
a $385,000 tax write-off.
Yeah, for them is you know, it's a drop in the bucket. So
and all of the history, all of the files of MUFON that have existed since the day it began, every file, every case, every name, every little bit of collected evidence. Yep. Be they soul samples or anything, it's all part of the package. Owns it all, right?
Yeah, but how is that possible for a charitable organization to be able to do something like that?
Doesn't make any sense, does it?
So those are the kinds of questions we're asking now. See, the Committee to Reform MUFON, now that we're free, see, because I mentioned this climate of fear. See, I believe, I told you before, prior to me getting fired, I was writing to the higher-ups in MUFON asking them these questions. Why are we publishing all these raw reports? And why is this stuff on the website that says third parties unaffiliated with MUFON? See, they don't like to hear that. They don't like you to ask those questions, because if you do, they will fire you. See, that's the point. That's how they hope. That's how they. And now that I'm not in MUFON anymore, I'm screaming like a stuck pig.
Right.
You see, because MUFON is carrying itself as though it were a public agency backed by the force of law. That is the way it's conducting itself. That's the persona that it's presenting. And it is absolutely bizarre.
So tell me something. When these letters were going out that you had to sign, I expect that you had to sign some of these letters. Was there a lot of people saying, I'm not signing this. What are you, crazy?
They sign it right and left.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, except for a few people who don't. And then if they don't, they get fired.
Okay. Right. So it was the carrot and the stick without the carrot.
Man. See, there's no mechanism for the membership. They have no control over the board. Board of directors.
How was this thing set up from way back, even when Walt Andrews was there, I remember correctly, that the board, who was picking the board?
Prior to 1982, there was a provision. See, MUFON being a corporation, it has a corporate documents. Right. And they specify.
So somebody has to be able to be picked.
Right. Now, before 1982, there was a provision in there permitting the election of the board. The members would vote on the board. Now, in doing some research, I found that was not observed. It was in there, but it wasn't observed. And so in 1982, they changed it. And now the board is self-appointing. In other words, the board says who's going to be on the board. Nobody votes on anything.
The elites choose the elites.
That's right, exactly. We have no control over what the board, who's on the board or what they do. None whatsoever. And not only that, but there's no chance, and I'm not exaggerating this, okay, when I say there's no chance for a normal, ordinary member of MUFON to be on that board. No chance. And they will tell you to your face that there is no chance, because to be on that board, you have to give MUFON money.
Oh, right? Okay, so there's money involved.
You have to.
Well, that's a little odd. I mean, that doesn't sound like a free and open charity society.
it's right against the rules of a charity. So if they actually have a charter, right, you can go to the state or wherever the registration is and pull their charter, because they're going against the proper business conduct.
Yeah, that would. I don't know. So, what is happening now? You are trying to get a hold of. You got some people, and you're trying to reform. Are you trying to reform MUFON under the name MUFON, or are you trying to start something new? Because the name MUFON has been sullied so much, it's not going to happen. Which way are you going with that, Elaine? What are you doing now? Well, we lost her, I think.
I think we may have lost Elaine.
That's okay. It's interesting, though, Tom, isn't it, that the way it's going. This reminds me a little bit, and I remember telling this story earlier today, about how an organization is infiltrated.
Well,
some people come with some money, and then they'll say, here's a big bunch of money, but we need somebody on the board. Then they'll do that again. Here's some more money, but we need two people on the board. They keep throwing money into it, and then keep putting people on the board until, guess what? They run the board. It sounds a little bit like what's happening.
Well, I remember back in the 80s and 90s, Because, again, it's a volunteer kind of thing, right? So finding enough volunteers to be on the board, you know, which would give you a whole lot of work to do. And Walt Andrews, at that time, when I got involved, Walt Andrews was in charge. And, you know, like Elaine mentioned, basically all the information was going and, you know, in his house. And it was just a big pile of stuff.
Right.
There was no real organization, per se. And, you know, in those days, you know, like in any kind of charitable organization that you belong to, you know, certain individuals have to be, you know, doing it from the heart in order to be able to take over that kind of a job.
Well, and, yeah, I mean, they're volunteering their time freely, right?
Yeah, but the description that we're hearing now, of course, is totally different, and now it's being run as a, you know, one of these private corporations, it seems. They're you know, creating all kinds of control factors.
Well, they're running it like a small country, a dictatorship. I mean, let's be real. It's being run as a dictatorship now. You know.
And I don't quite understand why people would go along with it. So going back to that, you know, they were making big demands at the time that, you know, all our information should go to them. And,
you said no.
We didn't get anything in return. No, and I said, no, we're not giving you. I mean, yeah, I'm willing to share, you know. You give me some of your info.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll give you some of mine. But I'm not, you know, going to give you all our information and then, you know, let it go in that deep cave and end up nowhere.
Right. That was the problem. I mean, you were getting nothing in return. And there was a good group here in Ontario busting their butt, checking out all the cases and, you know, talking to the people and taking the reports and dead ends and interesting cases. So I don't know what the heck was going on there. But they wanted all the information and give nothing in return. So,
well, this is it. And you know, at the time when we refused, you know, they started to sort of threatened to, you know, to get rid of us or change us or whatever, and, you know, excommunicate us. But so we told them in no uncertain terms that we didn't care. so we changed our name slightly, and we moved on.
Right.
And, of course, they didn't like that very much at the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we first started up, we got an email from the current person who's running MUFON saying, you know, you can't use the name MUFON. Bite me.
Exactly.
It's Ontario MUFON. Completely different name.
Completely different name, yes.
Yeah. Ontario MUFON, different world.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that you know, the only real, you know, big enough name organization to in this field, you know, that was left over in the last, you know, dozen years has gone in the direction that it has, because there isn't, you know, all the smaller groups kind of, you know,
they folded over time.
Or, you know, the... And right now, you know, they were the only one that, you know, made any kind of difference, I suppose. And it's really sad to see what, you know, direction it has taken right now.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I don't know if we're going to get Elaine back, but that's okay. That's perfectly fine. I find it interesting that, you know, you've heard the rumors over the last 20 years about MUFON being infiltrated. You know, it's been said for the last 20 years, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, personally, you know,
that's the case, but,
you know, whether it is or not, the individual members, you know, should definitely stand up and you know, do something about that. Because, I mean, me as an individual, if I was a member and this is the kind of style of approach that, you know, they're taking, I wouldn't stand up for them. And maybe that's probably the reason why, you know, majority of their membership has gone, you know, over the last few years.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've lost a lot of the members. But also, I think that there's not you don't have the sort of coverage you used to with the cases. You know, they're, again, the cherry picking that happens now. The case has to be up in bright shining lights before anybody will send out to look into it. It's the shortage of people as well. There's not enough people, really. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the subject has changed, too, because, you know, over the last, you know, dozen years or so, the internet has grown, and majority of the people, you know, have become armchair critics, you know, rather than, whereas before, you know, it was mostly individuals that would go out and look after the particular cases.
Right.
Now there's very few people doing that sort of thing, and you know.
Well, the people are very busy making YouTube commentaries.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you know,
they've never investigated a case in their life, but boy, they got an opinion.
Yeah, everybody has an opinion. That's the whole trick in this, you know. And unfortunately, the you know, as technology changes, you know, it creates that kind of a, you know, understanding out there. So, you know, over the years, I had hoped that there would be a lot more people getting involved physically, you know, to go out there and find out what all the stuff is and, you know, create a better sort of understanding and put out the information. But even back in those days, you know, a lot of people would take information and then they keep it to themselves, like, you know, it was like gold. You know, they'll put it in their safes and hide it, and it was like theirs, and nobody else could get that information because you know, it was secret,
right? Which is what MUFON was doing. They were having all.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, everybody was doing that. Unfortunately,
yeah.
And then, you know, unless you know, you have a change of mentality, and then that's the biggest problem. I think that the folks in the UFO field, you know, for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, has been that. There's a lot of infighting, there's a lot of arguing, a lot of, you know, but nobody has gotten together as a real team that have a good understanding of how the information should be disseminated out there and put out to the public and to the media and so on. And probably most of that is because, you know, most of the folks in this area are laymen. You know, we don't have the experience.
That's true.
You know,
well, there's a lot of people out there that have been doing it for a long time, and what they do is, if new people come in, they were willing to give out their time freely. You would take them on cases and, you know, show them exactly how you interview people separately. You take the information down. If there's any other separate witnesses, you have to talk to them separately. You know, if there's any soil samples, there's a procedure in how to gather that soil sample. You know, what lab it's got to go to, how long it's going to take to get that information back. There definitely is procedure. It's not just that,
and MUFON had, you know, a training manual and all that kind of stuff that you know, they gave a procedure which was you know, good in that degree, but like I said, the field in itself was very disorganized and still is. You know, it hasn't really changed that much, because there's no too many professional people that understand how it should be run, you know, and you know, most of the folks, like I said, you know, they'll volunteer, but you know, what expertise do they have in running a business? What, you know, there'll be the odd person here and there, but overall,
right,
there was nothing there.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get Elaine back.
I don't know.
Hopefully, Dawn's trying to get a hold of her. It's okay. That'd be a shame. I was really looking forward to finding out whether she's going to if there's going to be a new name, or whether you're just going to, you know, do what you did and separate from MUFON. You did that in 1993. You separated completely.
Yeah.
Changed
the name. I think what she's trying to do, and what they're trying to do, I should say, is to change the current MUFON and by doing a petition, you know, to make those changes that need to be done. I don't know how successful something like that can be, considering that these fellas have all the control. And I don't know how to change that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Maybe she has some ideas on how to do that. Hopefully we'll get it. I think we're going to have Elaine back in a few minutes here.
I hope so.
And Don's calling her now.
No, we're not connected anymore.
When she's not connected, no. Well, I want to know. If you said that what she's trying to do is change it from the inside, the problem that they're going to have is, and she mentioned this, is that a huge press release will have to go out to let everybody know that you know, new management, under new management. But at what point do you throw your arms up and just, you know, say, okay, let's start something new?
Well, yeah, but you know, the thing is that the current membership has to make the changes. I'm talking about, you know, the little people, not you know, these people that are on the board that are controlling everything. And, you know, I don't know what the numbers are right now for MUFON, because, I mean, there was a time I think they had like a few thousand people. You know, I don't know what kind of numbers they have now. Maybe Elaine might be able to give us some idea if we get her back on. Elaine, are you still?
Yeah, they got me back.
Oh, yay! Good. Yay! I was just asking you when we lost you, if you're going to, is this thing you're doing, is it, are you going to change MUFON from the inside, or are you looking more towards creating something completely new?
Well, no. I mean, recreating MUFON would be a lifetime's work. I'm not trying to recreate MUFON. I'm trying to get people inside MUFON to wake up. And it's not only me. It's the whole committee. The committee to reform MUFON, it's the six people. Trying to get the people inside MUFON to wake up, you know, to what's going on. Everything I told you guys up till we got cut off mysteriously is kind of the overt case. But then if you start to drill down even further down into these questions, as we are doing, and the place we landed as the place to look is CMS. CMS is the computer management, the MUFON computer where all the cases are.
Computer management system, yeah.
That's right. So we start hearing stories about CMS, information missing. Missing cases.
Case files, gone. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Dispatchers would tell me things like, see, during the Bigelow period when they were being paid, they were watching CMS 24 hours a day, and except in the middle of the night. And they would tell me things like, well, we went just before we signed off our shift, that cases would come in and we'd say, okay, we'll assign them in the morning. And then when they get up in the morning and go to the CMS, the cases were gone. Mm. And so what we're still trying to analyze this. It's very difficult to understand a computer system to whether it's being tampered with or not.
Right.
And to do it systematically, you have to be somehow systematic. So one methodology that we came on, that we're using now, and that we have probed to a certain extent for 1 year, the year 09, every month, MUFON reports without annotation, without any details. They'll just tell you in there, once a month, they'll say, well, we received this many entity cases. And entity cases when somebody reports seeing a creature that's not human. They'll say, okay, this month we got 4 entity cases, or this month we got 17 entity cases. Now, what we're doing now is we're looking in there and we're seeing, can we find these cases? They said they had 16 entity cases. Where are they? And what we're finding is about 60% of them are not there.
Hmm.
And so now we're saying, okay, wait a minute. Is this, what are we really looking at here? And this is the theory that I'm using, and I'm not persuaded, but I'm working with this following theory. The theory is if you were the United States government, if you were the cover-up, if you were the part of the American and Canadian bureaucracy that is dedicated to making sure that the public never realizes that UFOs are real and extraterrestrial, and you would like MUFON. You would want, because, you see, the government doesn't have somebody on every street corner. So here you've got this wonderful reporting system where people are constantly tuning in the website and telling whoever, you know, telling MUFON what they saw, what happened to them. So this part is real good. We want this. I'm speaking now if I was the government. But what else would you want? Then you would want all the information to come in. But what if you said, you know what? We don't really want all the information to go out.
Right.
We want it all to come in. So we don't want to destroy MUFON. Because some people have said, oh, they're trying to take MUFON down. No. We want to keep MUFON. We want all the information to come in. We want all the states to be busy and active and recruiting new members and publicizing MUFON, and more people will report cases. But we don't want all the information to go out.
Mm.
You know, we don't want people to know that there were 17 entity cases in 1 month.
Right.
You know, we don't want people to know that there was...
And we don't want the state directors or the field director or the field operatives to talk to anybody about this. So what we'll do is we'll come up with a piece of paper that's a non-disclosure.
Right.
The same one we use, in the military or in the high areas of secrecy. We'll just photocopy that bad boy, change the names around to MUFON and state director and field operative, and we'll give them that, and they're stupid enough, they'll sign it. And we'll have the secrecy that we want.
That's right. So now we're thinking, hey, what's the control mechanism here? It's STAR Team. It's the STAR Team itself, where all the significant cases are siphoned off, sent into the STAR Team. The STAR Team can write up their little reports. No one can read them. You know, somebody said to me, well, given this gag order here, who has the authority to read the cases? It's like as though you had to have a clearance, you know.
Yeah.
It completely foreign to MUFON, completely foreign to its mission.
Yeah.
Right.
But as though you have a clearance.
Sorry to cut you off. Do you have any idea how many members the MUFON has right now internationally?
Yeah, 2,800.
And
I see we're out of time.
What numbers? No, we're okay.
We're good.
What numbers were the membership back in the 90s?
Well, the highest MUFON is twice that. 6,000 MUFON at one time at 6,000. People are talking about Bigelow and what he did or didn't do. But see, now we still have the STAR Team. The STAR Team survived Bigelow. But now we don't have 24-hour coverage. Now what I'm getting at here is, see, these dispatchers, they were honest people. They were honest eyes watching the CMS and watching cases disappear, and they noticed all these irregularities that are not, you know, they're not, you have to be really familiar with the system to notice the irregularities. But no, we don't have those people anymore. MUFON, there's no Bigelow, there's no salaries, there's no 24-hour coverage. There's no honest eyes. There's no team of dispatchers, honest dispatchers. There's just who? We don't know anymore. Okay.
So those people are gone. Their positions are not existent right now. The honest eyes that were on the job are no longer on the job. Now that seems a little strange, don't you think?
Well, it's very convenient, you see, because now it means you could tamper a lot more with CMS. And there aren't any honest eyes to watch it.
Right.
And some of those honest eyes are talking to the Committee to Reform MUFON and telling us things because we wouldn't know. You know, we wouldn't know about the missing cases. And we wouldn't know. And, of course, during Bigelow's time, Bigelow would send out his own teams of investigators.
Right.
Because he knew about He knew about all the cases as soon as they came in. And that's very, okay, that's what it is, you know. But now we don't know anymore. We don't right. even have, we don't know. But this pattern of let's fire all the experienced people. Let's have only inexperienced, completely loyal, and totally scared people investigating these cases. Let's gag them. And now everybody's been asking, I've been told, where is the server for CMS? Where is it? Nobody knew. People said to me, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? They'd say, if you knew where it was, you'd have a lot of the answers. Well, we think we found out where it is.
Ooh, where is it?
It's in the home of one of the members of the board.
Oh, okay.
All right, and we don't know. Now, let's say the government had that objective that I mentioned before. Let's say the objective was to keep MUFON up and running, really healthy, getting a lot of cases in, but the cases don't come out. Now,
right.
the question then becomes, is MUFON cooperating with this? You see?
Sounds like they are.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We don't, and we'll never really, we are not going to really know. But the pattern
right.
is there. See, now we see the pattern. And as far as I'm concerned, there's only one solution, and that is we need a different corporate charter. We need voting by the members. We need a board of directors that is new, runs for election, answers questions, is answerable to the members. You see, we've got to have that. And that's what our petition is about. And we're looking for signatories on that.
Yeah.
Now, have you got a list of all the members out there?
A MUFON list?
Yeah, a list of all the members.
We do. We do. And we got it by accident.
Okay.
Just before this whole thing broke, the MUFON headquarters, by accident, sent out the entire membership list of the organization. We didn't steal it. It was sent to us by mistake.
And have you been able to contact the majority of the members?
Yes.
And what has been the response?
Well, it's causing a great deal of questions, more and more questions being asked. Of course, MUFON is extremely annoyed at what we're doing. You know, they say we're fomenting to riot, and we are, you know, but we are going to continue.
Yeah, but, I mean, people need to know what's going on, right?
Yeah. You're darn right they do.
Yeah, transparency is important here. You know what? If they're completely innocent, that will come out.
Right.
It's only if there's some shady business going on that they would be upset.
Right. You know, they could start by not pushing the member, you know, getting rid of these doggone forms that they're requiring people to sign. Just, you know, we're going to notify the members. We're going to put these forms forcefully in front of the members and ask them, did you sign this? Did you sign this thing? You signed your life away? Why did you sign this? Don't sign any more of these things. Because people think they have to sign them.
Right.
If you give all this information that we're discussing right now, all this information goes out to all the membership, right? I would assume that a good majority will either quit or you know, will bring it up to them and say, hey, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, well, that's what we're aiming for. We're aiming to have them really challenge the membership and say, look, we don't like the way you're running things. And we know we're never going to get to the bottom of this, but we want to just cut through the Gordian knot. You know, it's too big of a knot. We can't untangle it.
Right.
So we just cut it in half.
And when you're a member, right? I mean, all
yes,
you are is getting a magazine.
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is if you're a member, all you get is a magazine. Other than, you know,
correct.
What else are you? Unless you decide to take the course, the investigator course, and you become an investigator.
Well, I can't be an investigator anymore.
Well,
they
that's what I'm saying. So now, they took your badge away.
Oh,
hey, now that you became magazine subscriber.
That's correct. They still want
it's my not like it's not like your 25 years of experience just disappeared overnight. They took your badge away, therefore you have no experience.
And they do it right and left. They do it right and left.
Yeah.
They just take people's bags away right and left. For no reason. You know, it to some extent, you get the feeling that it's entertainment. It became part of the new culture in MUFON to give orders and push people around. And you know how people are, you know, if you kind of give them permission that they can push people around, they'll do it. And they just, I can cite you chapter and verse, people that were fired for absolutely no reason. Just nuts. All right? They didn't ask any questions. They didn't do anything. They just fired. Yeah. Or their badges taken away. It's almost like it's gotten to be entertainment.
Mm. Out of the 2,800 people there, how many of those would you say are, you know, in the status of investigators?
About 1,000. That's what we hear. About 1,000 field investigators out of 2,800 members.
Okay.
So about a third of MUFON.
So those individuals are probably the ones that need to be reached, and they're the ones that have to probably, you know, bring that up to them.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. I think it's important to say this. We are not trying to take MUFON down by any means. What we want to see is the membership to take purposeful, collective action to reform the organization. MUFON is an indispensable organization. We need it. We want it. We love it. You know, but we must change it. And what we feel is if it isn't changed, then people are going to vote with their feet. They just will drop out.
Right. Yeah. Which in the end is maybe what they want. Anybody who would get up in arms about being controlled, they want those people to go away. And
yes.
And they will go away, and the ones left are just the ones that are easily controlled.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we're telling people, we get a lot of letters that says, I'm dropping out of MUFON. I say, don't drop out. You're free. If you're willing to drop out, then you can't be threatened by being fired. You can raise your voice.
Right,
You can call for change. Don't drop out. You know, like I said, we need MUFON. The world needs, you know, North America needs MUFON. We need an honest MUFON that reports every shred of information they gather is published. That's what we want.
Right. Now, but do you think, based on the style of approach that they have taken right now, and if even if you get, let's say, 1,000 names from the membership signing the petition, do you think that's going to make a difference to them?
You know, predicting the future is difficult. But all we can do is move forward and tell people what we're learning, show them what the patterns are, and show them what they can do. And what they can do is sign the petition, and they can begin to communicate with their own state directors and the international director and say, listen, you know, we know you can change the corporate charter. Change the darn corporate charter. It's not difficult, and it will not affect MUFON's tax-exempt status. Set up, we want a mechanism for the members to vote on the members of the board of directors. That's what we want.
And you want to change it from a dictatorship to something that's more open, and people will get in because of their skill, not because the amount of money they can pay to get on the board.
Yes. And with voting, there's a mechanism to affect the policy. See, if a board that you voted on did something you didn't like, then you could vote them out.
Right.
Now we don't have to. There's no mechanism.
Right.
Nothing.
That's a problem. And what they could just easily do is at the end of every month or at the end of every week, whatever the case may be, I would probably do it monthly. That you could just release all the files. Just boom, there you go. There's all of last month's files available.
Right.
To the public, have a ball. This is where we at. Now, if you're in a case that's progressing, now you may want to hold that information back until you at least reached a certain stage because you're still, you know, you're working through the case, as it were. But what's your opinion on that?
Well, absolutely. MUFON always had a procedure for protecting, first of all, the identity of many witnesses. Absolutely. Don't want their names in the paper.
No.
You know, and that's fine. That's no problem. And it wouldn't be a problem to keep a case confidential until the investigation was concluded.
Yeah.
But once that investigation is concluded, then that information should be on the website, in the MUFON Journal, et cetera, for the world to read. There's just
yes.
no other way. I mean,
and
it
doesn't
way.
Mean at that point you publish people's names. If they don't
no.
want their names published, you don't put their – it could just be case number 6853 case number.
Correct.
And it could be, you know, informant or, you know,
witness.
The people involved in it. Witnesses. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
You don't have to put the names out there. It's not
no.
important.
No, it isn't important, and you wouldn't put the names out there.
No.
You absolutely would not. But every single case needs to be published. And and I'm speaking of investigated cases.
Absolutely.
The ones
I agree.
That the, you know, that have been investigated. Then you have a good quality product there.
And they're not.
To get, yeah, right.
And they're not. And it's easy to do in this day and age.
No. Occasional cases are
fine.
But not systematically. And we don't know, see, we no longer know about all the cases that are taken off CMS. We don't know about the ones we don't know about. But we proved that about over half of the entity cases are not to be found on CMS. You know, I could cry. I mean, it's just a complete violation of MUFON's mission.
Right. You would think that people that have had to deal with this phenomena for as long as they've had to deal with it are doing so of their own volition, for their own interest in the subject in and of itself, and they want to get that information out there to everybody else. I mean, they have that sort of spirit to it, you know. If the government's not going to do it, we'll do it. We'll do the investigating. We'll collect all the information, and then we'll give it to the rest of the public. But if they're acting like the government by
yes.
withholding the information,
yes.
that should be a paradigm that's completely opposite to the
right.
original intent.
180 degrees.
Exactly.
Completely.
So that should say something. Now, if that's the case, I agree with what you're doing, and I hope it works, because I think that you can change it from the inside. I do. I'm going to be positive and say, yes, it can happen. But on the other side of the story, it's possible that if the intel op is running, because it's an intel gathering op, I mean, let's be real, if the intel gathering op is running, do you think the elites are going to say, yeah, you're right, we should just give all this information out?
Mm.
You know, that's going to have to sort of
right.
be pushed aside. They're
right.
going to have to all go.
Right. You're saying, what's it going to take? That's your question.
You know, yeah, get rid of them all. Get rid of the whole, all of the not all of the directors, but all of the people at the top, the people on the board, all have to go. And if they come back, they come back because they're voted back.
Right. Right.
Right?
That's right.
Clean the slate, you know?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
what you know, if you're gonna dissolve the intel op that's happening right now, and that's what I want to go with, because it's what it sounds like, then you've got to change it from the top and wipe the slate clean and use the process of voting that you're talking about, and everything should be transparent. And if you have that sort of stuff, what you're gonna gain is you're gonna gain respect.
Yeah,
because people now aren't the same people that were around 50 years ago. Transparency has become a huge issue.
Right.
And if you
right,
show
right.
it, you
That's
get
right.
that respect.
Right, right.
Elaine, give us a rundown of what happened to the previous director.
Well, he was the last director was a fellow named James Carrion. He was director for 3 years. And when the Bigelow when the Bigelow contract and arrangement came apart, which it came apart in the 10th month of a 12-month contract, the board of directors wanted to salvage the contract. And so they pushed James aside, and they decided to blame him. They communicated to Bigelow, "Oh, Mr. Big Bigelow, we're so sorry. It's all James' fault." James Carrion was apparently increasingly skeptical of the Bigelow Arrangement. See, and we don't know what the Bigelow Arrangement represented. I posed a question a minute ago. Is MUFON cooperating? See, we're trying to figure out if this is an intel operation. What's the conduit? Is Bigelow, is he a government agent? Is he, are his secret undisclosed backers? I mean, I can hardly say it. It's just so, it's so bad that MUFON would form a contract with somebody with undisclosed backers. Is that the CIA, his undisclosed backers? Is he the conduit for the intel operation? Is he still, in CMS? Because the thing about CMS, it's very porous. You can get in there. It's not like, you know, it's not like a Department of Defense computer. There's a lot of ways to get into CMS, and Bigelow could easily be in there right now, siphoning off cases. If it is an intel operation, did it come through Bigelow? Or was it, is it also in MUFON?
Is the board been corrupted? Has the board been corrupted?
That's the question, right. That's correct.
Yeah. Have they jumped on board? Because obviously, if they're willing to get together and get rid of the previous director because he didn't agree with what was going on, they shove him, they throw him under the bus.
That's what
they do. And if they're doing it just for the contract, it's a good contract. We need to keep this contract. It'll be good for MUFON. If they're coming at it from that angle, they threw him under the bus for that. Or are they coming at it from, you know, they're part of the operation, and this other guy was getting in the way, and they threw him under the bus?
Yeah, you see, we're trying to figure it out.
If that's a hard one.
Even though we know we're never going to be able to determine it. But one thing we're assuming is, suppose there's people on the board that are working with the government. Suppose that were true, and I'm not saying it is. But it wouldn't be everybody on the board. There's 9 members of the board. If one or two or three of them were working with the government, then they'd have to, there's 6 more who aren't. And those 6 have to be persuaded of whatever whatever direction we're supposed to be going in, according to the 3. You know, I'm just making this up. I don't know if any of it's true. But so there's complications.
Right.
You're going to have those 6 people that are honest. And they're going to be what? They have to be controlled.
Right. Okay, so that goes back to my point. Yes, they might be honest. And yes, it might go one way or the other. But if you wipe the slate clean, say, look, guys, you know what? The board's got to be dissolved. If you get back in, you'll be getting back in on your own merit. Isn't that a better way to get back in?
Right.
You know? Do you want to be associated with a board that, you know, there's a lot of suspicion about? Or do you want to be associated with a board that now is transparent and has gained a lot of respect in an already existing group? MUFON is huge. It's been around for a long time. It'll put a new face on it.
It would. It absolutely would. And Jan Harzan is the person on the board who we understand, we hear, is supposed to be the next upcoming international director of MUFON, the CEO. And I sent an email to somebody who knows him well the other day and said, look, you know, Jan, you might be able to run for election and win. They might vote you in, and then you'd have legitimacy.
Right.
Instead, if you become international director now, you're just the most recent appointment from the Politburo, you know, just like they do in North Korea. In many countries of the world, they tell you who your leader is. And
right.
That's what, you know, in MUFON, they tell you who your leader is.
Dictatorship, yeah.
That's right. That's right. So legitimacy is the question, and MUFON is losing it. And,
right.
And, you know, even if it's an intel operation, it could get out of hand, in the sense that the membership could just drift away, and then what would be left? You wouldn't have a good intel.
You wouldn't
any longer have a vehicle for a good intel operation anymore.
Right.
But tell me something. Why did they need all this money? Like, I mean, okay, fine, they were broke. But, I mean, it's not a huge operation that they would need that kind of money. A computer and a bunch of magazines that they put out monthly.
Well, so the magazine How much money is do they expensive. Need? The magazine is expensive. And MUFON has, two or three or four or five employees. And
But wait a minute. If it's a charitable organization, what kind of employees could they have?
Well, any charitable organization has employees.
Has paid people.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, yes. But, I mean, part-time maybe. What possible work?
No, they have an office staff. They have two in the office. And then they need to pay the international director. They need to pay him something. I mean, it's a full-time job, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And then they need money for a laboratory analysis. They need money for equipment. MUFON needs money.
Yeah.
And the thing, you know, we put in our petition that fundraising, we don't see any evidence they do any. I mean, legitimate.
So the question there is, if they're not doing any fundraising, if there's no evidence of fundraising,
right,
where's the money coming from?
Well, the members pay $45 a year.
The members pay.
Right,
exactly,
there.
Members pay. Like, I don't even remember them doing any fundraising in the past.
Right. Right.
So,
they're too chicken. They're too chicken or too lazy I don't know. Maybe
they don't need it.
Intel operation.
Or they don't need it as much as they say they need.
Sure they need it, but you know the problem is? Excuse me. How many cases did you, in your 25 years with them, how many cases did you have that needed to have lab work and that sort of thing, and they paid for it?
It was very difficult to ever get money out of MUFON.
How much money?
I had one abduction case that I begged for help with, and I got a little bit of help, and it just wasn't even worth all the trouble I took.
Yeah, because I think what Tom's saying is.
Let me say something here, okay? We here in Canada, in Toronto for that matter, okay, for the last, 15 years, right, we have we allowed anybody from anywhere down stateside or across Canada to send us any material, any implants, any anything, and we would do all the work up here for free. And I was offering it for years. And many, many people, including Dr. Lear and many others, send this stuff up here. If MUFON had that kind of ability, you know, with all this money that they supposedly need to do that kind of stuff, why can't they go to the universities and ask for help?
Well, the way you raise money is you go to wealthy people. And you find them in New York and Hollywood and elsewhere. And you also go to the World of Foundations. And it's difficult, but every organization, every well-run nonprofit organization has a fundraising activity. And there are firms, there are businesses that will help you, and they get paid by a commission of the money raised. You see,
right.
And that's a professional approach. And I don't
Except
see any evidence
that
ever engaged in any of that.
Exactly. But at the same time, I've never, you know, at least in my experience, I've never heard anybody from down there, any of the MUFON members that I've talked to over the years, had the ability to go up to universities and colleges and such and ask them to help them with whatever lab works or, you know, analysis or anything that needed to be done.
Right. You could not go to MUFON and get that done.
No.
But even individuals don't go up to the colleges, because the colleges will do it for free. There's a ton of folks out there that are interested in this subject.
Yeah.
Nobody's utilizing. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't want to utilize it, because then you would get...
Man, I think it's the stupor. In this field, it's been, you know, people don't have the balls to go out there and ask. You know, people waiting for somebody to walk up to them and offer them something. It doesn't work like that. You know, for years and years, when the abduction phenomena, you know, with Bud Hopkins and Jacobs and all these guys, they used to come up here, you know, to talk shows, and I would approach them and I would say, okay, well, you have an implant, you have x-rays, you have this and that. and, you know, let's bring it to our lab. Well, no, because, you know, it might get lost. It might, you know, the government might take it. The aliens might take it, blah, 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 blah. That's not the way you conduct yourself if you're an investigator.
Well, there are many examples of samples disappearing. But the fact is that what we know about MUFON today is MUFON doesn't have any money to do lab work.
But they don't need the money. All they need to do is go up to universities and ask them to do it. There'll be many, many universities, individuals within the universities that would love to get their hands on that kind of work.
Yeah.
So what we feel is if we get a new MUFON, then some of these wonderful ideas about what should be done could be implemented, because right now the board of directors is just busying themselves with firing the senior people in MUFON, micromanaging the states, you know, conducting investigations. Oh, they've got lots of investigations of the members.
Oh, okay, members. Yeah, with the background checks and the secrecy.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, but that stuff is ridiculous.
Yes, and they got lots of time for that. Oh, they're really into that. That's a big activity in MUFON, you know, investigating.
So they have the time and the money for that, but they don't have money to supposedly, you know, go out and do a proper investigation or analysis or whatever needs to be done. See, that's nice.
You know? Yeah, no, Elaine, I can understand that you know, you've had trouble in the past with getting lab work done, and you butted your head against the board or the MUFON in general. And these are probably smaller things that can be ironed out in time. But your main concern right now is getting the members that exist in MUFON right now, getting the information out to them that,
right.
Hey, there's something going on right now. You need to be aware of it. I'm sure that there's a lot of, you know, people at your level. You were a state director. You knew about what was going on. You're just finally, you know, coming out and saying, look, we all got to get together. We all have to change this. So you have something that people can sign.
Absolutely. We have a petition.
A petition. And you have a website where that can be located.
No, we don't have a website. We're just, you know, we're 2 months old. We don't have a website. I was going to bring that up. I can give my email address, and I can also wondering if maybe people could write to Spectrum.
Actually,
they write
to you guys,
and you could forward it to me.
Yeah.
Actually, Elaine, if you want, you can put the petition onto our site and let people come in and sign it there.
Right, and they need to be MUFON members to sign it.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
of course.
It's not for the general public. It's for MUFON members, I would include past members if they've been a member for any substantial period of time, even if their membership's left.
Yeah, maybe they left because they were just sick and tired of it. They're
yes,
like, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm out of here.
Right.
Former members and members of MUFON. Now, maybe you should have two. Maybe you should have two of these petitions, because there is a general public, and the general public relies on MUFON for this information. They go
That's
to the
right.
site. They want to read this information. They want to know about this stuff. So if you have a separate one, which will give you sort of an outside of the MUFON opinion, meaning, you know, do we want voting in of the board members? Do we want clarity and transparency of all of the cases on the website? And they could sign that.
Right. In other words, that's a really good idea. In other words, have a petition that's for non-members.
Of course, because MUFON is supposed to be for the people.
Right.
Right? It's supposed to get the information to the people, not hold it within themselves and not allow you guys to do anything with it. I mean, to sign a thing that says you cannot talk about your case. Just roll that around in your head for a minute.
Isn't that incredible?
That's amazing.
Incredible.
You've spent months on a case. You are the person who's collected the vast majority of the data. The person
right.
who knows the most about the case is the person.
You can't tell your wife.
Can't tell your wife, can't tell your children, can't tell anybody. You can't go into a local meeting. Get this. You cannot to a local meeting, stand on a podium, and tell the people that are paying to come to you and listen to you about your case. What is up with that?
It's unbelievable that MUFON has got to this point. The wonderful organization that we thought we had, that we worked in for years, all of us, all three of us, has got to this point.
You know, I was in MUFON, Field Investigator.
What's Carrion's, what does he say right now? What is he doing?
Oh, Carrion's interesting because Carrion is talking. He's writing a blog. And, and if they go, if you just Google James Carrion, C as in cat, C-A-R-R-I-O-N, and you can find his blogs. He's got about six blogs that he's written about MUFON.
And I'll put that link on our website as well.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, but so go ahead, Tom.
No, is he a part of your group right now that's trying to make this change?
I would call him a friend of the committee. He's a friend of the committee to reform MUFON. He's a friend of it. You know, an amicus. And my email address. For me, my name is Elaine Douglas. So my address is E. Douglas, with two S's on the Douglas. So it's E. D. O. U. G. L. A. S. S. at frontier.com. E. Douglas at frontier.com. Two S's on the Douglas. Now I'm going to put the petition up on you guys' site.
Yeah.
And I'll put up one of our cover letters, because when we send this stuff out to the membership, we send out cover letters, you know, with things that we're learning. And we're going to be sending out more of those, too, by the way, soon.
Okay. And if you could get on an email list, that would be good as well. That way everybody can get updates.
Yeah.
Hey, you have updates.
Yeah. And by the way, everything we say, we check.
Yeah.
We check. We check and check. We don't just say one person told us one thing. That's a fact. No. It's not a fact until at least two people tell us, or two or three. You know, then it becomes something we take seriously. And because we're not trying to make wild statements here.
Yeah, you're not trying to destroy. You're trying to rebuild. That's the difference.
Correct.
Right. And,
I really appreciate you guys' interest in what we're doing. I'm very grateful to you.
I mean, been around MUFON for a long time. I've handled cases myself, abduction cases, all kinds of stuff. Tom's done stacks and stacks of cases. So, I mean, we have a personal investment in this. Even though MUFON Ontario broke away from MUFON International in 1993, he broke away for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about now, and that there was some problems, you know, with the organization, and it's just gotten to the point now where it's become an intel op, and gathering information and giving nothing out. That's the description of an intel op. I don't care whose intel op it is. It may just be the board members' intel op. It may be the people at the top of MUFON's intel op.
Yeah.
Or it could be something else. It could be a government or a military intel op. I'm not saying that. Right. Not at all. I'm just saying this sound like an intel op.
You're saying the basic pattern of an intel op is information in, nothing out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what we're seeing in MUFON. You know, it's not complete. It's not... Every piece of information doesn't come out. Some does, but, you know, there's too much that doesn't. There's too many reasons. And this authoritarianism, with MUFON starting to carry itself like a public agency backed by the force of law, where does that come from? You know, it's eerie. It's ominous. It's wrong. And we know it's wrong, you know.
Well, if at any time we can be of any help, certainly with any, you know, lab work or any kind of thing that you guys may need, you're welcome to let us know, and we'll definitely do everything for free up here.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been my pleasure to be on the show.
Thank you very much, and anybody who wants to look at this petition or sign it. You can go to www.spectrumradionetwork. I'm probably going to have it in the news section when she sends it to me. And we're going to have to get the webmaster to make it so it can be filled out. Now, do you want it filled out on the site, or do you want him to just download a copy and email it to you? We can do it either way. Elaine?
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
It's our pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Our pleasure.
Bye-bye now.
Okay. Have a great day. Okay, we're closing the show down, and we'll catch you guys next week.